broadcasting live from the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Arizona, in the heart of the great American Southwest. It's Erskine Overnight. Now, here's Erskine.
Dr. Cynthia Kelker, MD, is the author of 101 Ways to Save Money on Healthcare. Dr. K's practical advice for today's economy, how to save money. She's a board-certified family physician, more than 20 years' experience, holds degrees from MIT and CWRU School of Medicine, a member of Mensa, served in the National Health Corps to finance her medical education. Her blog, she blogs on ArmageddonMedicine.net. She is a medical editor of Survival Blog. And her newest book is Armageddon Medicine, How to Be Your Own Doctor in 2012 and Beyond. What good is gold, a gun? You've got your gold, you've got your guns, you've got a lot of things, you got your generator, and then you come down with some infection that you die from. I mean, excuse me, what good is preparation if you forget about your health while you're doing this? It's extremely important. You don't think this thing, sort of thing could happen? 9/11, the tsunami, earthquakes, Katrina, nuclear meltdown. There's so many things that could happen. Terrorism. So many things that could happen to you. And in her book, Armageddon Medicine, she talks about natural medicine, herbal medicine, all sorts of things here, and all sorts of things that you need to do. Dr. Kelker, thank you for being on Erskine Overnight. This is an amazing book that you wrote, and one that I think ought to be in the hands of every person, every thinking person, which means about maybe a fourth of the population needs to have your book. It's a terrific book, Armageddon Medicine. I loved it because it basically is a very short medical course that you're offering, isn't it?
Well, as much as I could cram into one book in 1 year.
You've crammed a ton of stuff into this book. I mean, you could, it's also pretty scary. You could get an infection, you could get pneumonia, MRSA, which is that methicillin-resistant staph. There are lots of different things. C. diff you could get. There are lots of things that you get that could easily kill you. And with the lack of sanitation, if everything just goes to hell in a handbasket, there are lots of problems that we are apt to have medically, and people aren't even thinking about that. They're thinking, got to have my gold, got to have a gun, got to have food, got to have water, I got to have some sort of electricity. Yeah, they're thinking about those things. They're not thinking about medical, are they?
They don't seem to be. I have some who are. Some of my blog readers are, especially diabetics. They're among the most concerned.
Well, the power grid goes down. Your food supply could go down. You could have no water. And the sanitation, I think, is going to become a major problem because sanitation, much as anything else, has certainly changed the world today. You're not going to have your vaccines for preventable diseases, mumps, measles, polio, diphtheria, tetanus, rabies, pertussis. A lot of those things could all come up and be extremely important. But your number one priority, your number one, well, I like what you said in the book. You said, if you were born 100 years ago, you'd be dead by now. Well, if you were born 100 years ago, I guess you would be dead by now. You'd probably be like 140 or something. But the fact of the matter is, people didn't live beyond about 40 or 45 years, maybe 50, 100 years ago. Now we're living a lot longer, aren't we?
Yes, and many of the people died young back then of infection, or women in childbirth, or injuries, people who can survive today. But,
look at 1919, yeah. Number of people who died from the flu.
Yeah, right. And that's what was expected with the H1N1 flu a few years ago, that it might be as bad as that one. Turned out that it wasn't. But it could have been, and we still could get one that is that bad, and we're really not that prepared for it.
One of the things that we all need to do is get tetanus and diphtheria. All adults need to get that. However, I'm looking at the numbers, and within the last year, there are only 40 cases of tetanus in the U.S. That's not much. Come on. Is it worth even getting a vaccine with 40 cases in the entire U.S. last year?
Well, you know, that's not really a communicable disease. That's in the dirt everywhere. And if you have a dirty injury, say you step on a rusty nail, or you just get a deep cut and the germ gets in there, then it can reproduce and antibiotics don't really take care of that situation because it makes a toxin, a poison, and the antibiotics don't kill that. So,
in over 20 years practice, you ever see a case of tetanus, Dr. Kelker?
In fact, I have not. And in fact, I have a friend who's an infectious disease doctor, so all he does is see diseases, and if there were one around here, he'd see it. He's seen one case in 30 years. But the thing is, people are immunized. Even people who have not had a shot in some time are partially immunized. And then everybody around here, really, if they had, well, everybody in the United States, if they had a significant injury, they're going to seek medical care, and then they're going to get a tetanus shot. So the reason we don't really see it is because people do get immunized. And, you know, right now it's not a big concern. If you get hurt, you go to the ER or go to your doctor, get a tetanus shot, you're not going to get tetanus. But that immunity does not last forever. 10 or 15 years from now, if you don't have a shot and you have an injury, you can for sure get tetanus. And there are a lot of people
absolutely
who are behind. I mean, I have lots of patients who just say, forget the tetanus shot, and it's been 20 years. And they just figure, you know, if they're injured, they'll get a shot. Well, if there are no shots, you won't be getting one.
Absolutely. Now, your number one priority, you say, is oral rehydration. And this is your number one, number two, number three, because that's something you could die of very quickly, is lack of water. You've got to have water. And you give a way to rehydrate somebody. 1 liter of drinking water, 6 teaspoons of sugar, a half teaspoon of salt, and a quarter cup of orange juice, optional, for the potassium. But you can orally rehydrate somebody. Just giving somebody water to rehydrate isn't enough. You've got to put the sugar, you've got to put the salt in there, and maybe a little bit of potassium or a quarter cup of orange juice. Why isn't water enough? You think somebody's low on water, you got to throw the sugar in with it? What's that? Does it just help it? What's the deal?
The two things about that. One is your body actually absorbs water more quickly when there's salt and sugar mixed in with it. Just the way the chemistry's set up, it'll get into your system quicker. The other thing is a lot of times when you're dehydrated, say, for example, you were in Haiti and you got cholera, which a lot of people did.
Right.
You're losing not just water, you're losing electrolytes. And you could use that recipe you just went through, which is in the book, but which isn't my recipe. That's from the World Health Organization, I think, or similar. But you can use that recipe to treat those things. Like, say, cholera, it isn't that people exactly need antibiotics sometimes to help, but what they really need is enough fluid to replace what they're losing. And, in fact, when there was a hurricane, earthquake, I'm getting my disasters mixed up.
One disaster like another. If you're going to have one, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a hurricane or an earthquake. Like they used to say, if the pitcher hits the rock or the rock hits the pitcher's going to lose. So any of these disasters could occur, and we've got to have water. You say that there are three things that you can do for emergency disinfecting of water. Boiling water is the best. Will kill microorganisms, which are often found in lakes and rivers. Allow it to come to a rolling boil. Boil vigorously for 1 minute at sea level, 3 minutes for altitudes above a mile. Let cool. Pour it into a container, and you can put a little pinch of salt. If boiling is impractical, use chlorine. You can put 2 drops per quart or a liter, 8 drops per gallon. And if that you don't want to do, you can put iodine at 5 drops. Of 2% iodine per quart. So obviously you want to have some chlorine available. You want to have a box of salt available. Those are two things that you want to keep on hand. More we get back as we talk about Armageddon medicine. We're talking about Armageddon medicine. Name of the book, How to Be Your Own Doctor in 2012 and Beyond. You may never need this. Like you say, you hope that we never need this. But if you do, this is the book that you need. And it's too late to get the book when something happens. You've got to prepare right now. I'm telling you, this is the best book for the money that I've seen on medicine. It's basically a real quick course on medicine for you. I mean, it's incredible. Dr. Kelker, this book has got everything in it. The other thing that we talked about was food. And an 8-ounce jar of peanut butter has 2,800 calories. And 2,000 calories a day is what we should stockpile per person. That's bare minimum, keep you going. You suggest dried fruits, canned beans, energy bars, tuna, canned tuna, beef jerky, nuts. If you're stocking something and people won't eat it, even if they get hungry, then you're better off not stocking it, aren't you? That's a key to it, isn't it?
I'm only getting stuff my family would eat, and it's not all exactly the healthiest, but high calorie, high nutrient density. We're not going to worry about too many calories, too few calories.
You've got the recommendations in there of the Latter-day Saints or the Mormons, what they suggest, and they say if you're over 7, you're going to better stock 300 pounds of grain. This is for a year, 13 pounds of fats and oil, 60 pounds of legumes, that's your peas and beans and that sort of thing, 60 pounds of sugar, 75 pounds of dry and evaporated milk and cheese and that sort of thing. It sounds to me like if we have a major disaster, it's going to last a year, you ought to find a friend who's a Mormon. because I don't know too many people are going to stock 300 pounds of grain, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't stock enough for at least 2 weeks to a month, does it?
Right. And, you can go to a Latter-day Saints cannery and get the same food the Mormons get at cost, so it's really cheap. I don't know if there's one in Arizona, but there's one near here.
Oh, yeah, they have them here.
Yeah. You can look it up online and find one near you.
Now, the other thing that you say, and as a physician, I find this extremely interesting, avoid antibiotics. Number one, they can cause yeast infections. Number two, you can get resistance. Number three, you can get nausea and vomiting. And number four, you can get allergies from them. And number five, we're using too damn many of them. They're using antibiotics for everything under the sun.
Yeah, and, if things do go bad, and you have some antibiotics on hand, now do you want to use it for your acne, or would you like to use it for pneumonia? A lot of things that we use antibiotics for now would not be treated. You just have to be really wise in your use of a limited medication. And since most of our
there's a lot of viruses, people go in for a cold, they want an antibiotic, don't they?
Oh, sure, yes. And it takes so much time to talk them out of it that doctors usually give up and just give them what they want. And you don't really need them for a cold. You don't really need them for most ear infections. You don't need them for influenza. You don't need them for most abscesses. Lots of things you don't need them for, but, the doctors are chicken, and the patients are afraid, too.
Every chapter you have a checklist, and these checklists are absolutely fabulous. You've got checklists on skin conditions. You've got checklists on all sorts of things. Don't forget toilet paper. That can be extremely important. Should include gentle shampoo and soap, appropriate for the entire family. Watered-down baby shampoo may also be used as an eye rinse. Hand sanitizer should be only used in rare occasions. Stockpile dry, perfume-free skin cream or moisturizer for persons of all ages. You've got a whole list, terry cloth towels for thorough drying. Thorough drying is extremely important. Then you talk about one that I found to be extraordinary, and that is bites. Don't close a puncture wound. Suture an infected problem, you can do that. But if it's over 12 hours, don't suture it. Don't do it. And with rabies, you've got skunks, bats, raccoons, wild canines. You've got foxes, coyotes, wolves, dogs, cats, ferrets. Antibiotics don't work. Don't worry if you get bitten by a rabbit or a little small rodent. They generally don't carry rabies. Well, that was, to me, very important to know what doesn't carry it as opposed to what does. But rabies is something you're going to have to be very alert with, especially with things like bats and that type of thing, right?
That's right. And I got some raccoons living outside in my sewer. I'm going to have to find out about that. Another thing.
Oh, no, raccoons. I know people who've had to have shots because of raccoon bites.
Right. Well, in Ohio they're doing baiting. I don't know if they're doing that in Arizona, but they put the vaccine in some food of some sort and they drop it and hope that the raccoons eat it. It has rabies vaccine in it. But I don't know if they've done it right here in my own neighborhood, so I'm going to see if I can get some for the raccoons that are living in my neighborhood because I have dogs.
Absolutely. Now, you also talk about respiratory problems and what to do, and you're a big fan of, I'm trying to think what that one is, that's the Primatene Mist. You say that's one you should keep, you can get it over the counter, and that really can help open up your airways if you have a problem.
Yeah, it's the only inhaler you can get over the counter, except that right now you can't, because the FDA took it off the market as of December 31st, but they're hoping to get a similar but newer kind of medicine with an HFA propellant. So right now you can't get it. Hopefully you can shortly.
For your stomach problems, the old standby Pepto-Bismol. You need that. You need some chlorine bleach, 1 micron water filter, cotton diapers and kettle to boil them in, oral antibiotics possibly. And you say on antibiotics, now this is interesting, fish antibiotics. They can't get them for animals without a prescription. You can't get them for people, but you can get them for fish. The same thing. So if you need to, not telling people what to do, but you can get that. You also should have a good pair of shoes. Now, that was a problem that your father had. He didn't have a good pair of shoes. I was reading that in the book. You can run into all sorts of problems if you don't have a good pair of shoes, can't you?
Yeah, it can even kill you. It probably would have killed my dad if I weren't taking care of him afterwards. But, yeah, he was diabetic too, and he couldn't feel. If you can't have good feeling in your feet, then you're at great risk. And he did rub a big blister in his foot that took a long, long time, 6 months or more, to get better, diabetics especially, yeah. Or even people, if you ever had a plantar wart, that's like walking
right
on a stone, and you want to take care of that. Anyway, yeah, I'd say shoes are as important as medicine.
Now, one of the things that you give is a recipe for tea made from willow bark, which is basically your aspirin. That comes from willow bark. You give the recipe for it. Now, you also say, and I love this, a list for burns. Now, my wife used to be a burn nurse, and there, 2010 was a very interesting study that came out, and you quote and you talk about it, and that is with burns, that there's something that really works extremely well that most of us have eaten, and that we'll talk about when we get back on Erskine Overnight. We're talking with Dr. Cynthia Kelker. Her website is ArmageddonMedicine.com. There's one book this year that you need to get hold of for your own preservation. It's Armageddon Medicine. I can't stress this strongly enough. This is a fabulous book, Armageddon Medicine. It lists everything. It's basically a very short medical course. When a disaster comes, you're not going to be able to get this book. This is one you need now. It is the best I have ever seen. Incredible. Written by a doctor who knows what she's talking about. It not only lists the medical, but it also gives you herbal and a lot of different things. Now, when you come to burns, better than Silvadine in test. 2010, they have done a number of tests with it, and this has been extraordinary. What is the product that we're talking about? I'm sure it's some new medical, new cure that they've come out with that we can probably get over the counter. It wouldn't be butter, would it, that people used to say to put on burns?
No. I'm sure you know it's honey. And it's disappointing to me that the Silvadine that we've used for many years actually does not work as well as honey. It kind of makes me feel
and,
like my
and Silvadine is extremely painful, too, I understand.
Well, it depends how bad the burn is, but the honey is soothing and actually works. There are some fancy honey, and you can actually go to Amazon or wherever and get honey impregnated dressings, but you could just use the honey that you already have, except not on little tiny babies, but hopefully they're not getting burned anyway. And another study on honey was done recently that showed it works better for a cough than, say, Robitussin does. So maybe we have some things wrong in the medical establishment. Maybe we need to go back to some simpler ideas.
The other thing that works on minor burns is aloe vera or burn plant. That's also very effective.
Right.
But there's nothing that works a whole lot better than honey. Honey for burns, you need to have honey available. This is something you certainly need. Back pain. There was something that you wrote in that article on back pain that I had to bring up. 2 years post-surgery for a slipped disc, people were no better than those who didn't have surgery. That's interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, it's good news for the people who don't have surgery. Not quite so happy news for the people who do. But I've definitely seen that in my own practice. And there are exceptions to that, but I remember as a young doctor, I thought, back pain, boy, that's a terrible thing. We got to do something about that right now. And now that I'm in my 50s, I think, everybody has it. No big deal.
Hey, you're right, especially if you work in medicine, lifting and doing one thing and another and being on your feet and walking up and down these stupid halls they make out of concrete and hospitals and stuff. Yeah, you're going to have back pain. Cuts and lacerations. You say one of the keys on that is anesthetic. Take your time. Don't try to do it in 10 seconds. Take your time in giving somebody any lidocaine or anything like that. It's less painful, a lot better. Don't try to just jam it in. That isn't effective. And a lot of people don't know about that. So that's a major, major, major plus there, I think. And then you talk about spider bites. Now, a lot of people are mistaken in what they think are spider bites, aren't they? Let's talk a little bit about that and tell what it actually is.
You know, and in 25 years, I'm not sure I ever really saw a spider bite. People think they're spider bites, but nobody ever tells me I saw a spider bite me. Like you see a mosquito bite by you, or maybe a bee sting you.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody really sees
Oh, yeah.
The spider bite you. They just kind of assume that's it. And nowadays, at least in this part of the United States, if a patient tells you they think it's a spider bite, or if the doctor thinks it's a spider bite, you can look at it and say, almost for sure that's a MRSA infection, not a spider bite. They look very similar.
You get the same red circle. You get the whole thing coming with it. And it is not responsive to antibiotics, is it?
It's not responsive to the normal antibiotics that we would use. There are some secondary antibiotics that are effective. So the doctor has to think of it ahead of time. And if you don't think of it ahead of time, you'll probably give the wrong antibiotic.
Wow. So it's definitely, most of the time, methicillin-resistant staph. How does somebody pick something like that up, and like on their arm or their leg or something like that? How do you pick up a methicillin-resistant staph? Is it just always around it, or what?
It used to only be in the hospitals and the nursing homes where the really bad germs were, but now it's out in the community.
Right.
Probably because there's so many people who've gone in and out of the hospitals, but it's not necessarily exactly the same germ, because the outpatient MRSA, it doesn't seem quite as bad as the inpatient MRSA. So basically, you're getting it from another person. And how could you tell that they have it on their skin? And the answer is you can't. So you get it from somebody, but you really don't know who you get it from. Unless you find
somebody.
You've
got a list of over-the-counter items. Excuse me, I don't mean to walk in your line, but over-the-counter items, Dr. Kelker, and one is ibuprofen. One is possibly acetaminophen. Acetaminophen's not anti-inflammatory. One is Benadryl. Now, Benadryl's got lots and lots of things you can do with that. You go into a lot of that. Another one, hey, if you're going to be alone, if there's one item you probably may need, Imodium, that's one you probably need. Sudafed, Dramamine or Bonine. Zantac is one that you may want. Hydrocortisone cream you may want. Bacitracin ointment you may want. Ganilutrimin is one that you may want. For under $50, you can get all those, all over the counter, all good to have, aren't they?
Right, and they pretty much all were prescription medicines like a decade or so ago.
Those are all things that you would advise people to have and to keep current. Now, what if they're expired? You come by and it's expired. Let's talk a little bit about expiration dates on some of these things. Is that suggested best used by? You know, some people look at it as suggestion. Other people, well, it expired on the 23rd of March. I'm going to throw it out. Well, it depends on the year. But if it was this year, at the 23rd of March, maybe it's still pretty good. I got a feeling that a lot of these things go quite a bit beyond their expiration date. But maybe lose a little bit of potency. What's the deal? I know that there are some that are supposed to be dangerous, like some of the antibiotics are supposed to be dangerous. What's the deal on the expiration?
Well, there was one case one time of an antibiotic a long time ago, which almost doesn't even count. But the thing about expiration dates is what they really mean is that the drugs have been tested that long. Like if they've been tested 3 months, they can say they're good for 3 months, and they expire at 3 months in 1 day. Of course, you know, they don't really expire at 3 months in 1 day. They just weren't tested that long. So then back around Y2K, when the government stockpiled a lot of stuff, or after 9/11, they got all this antibiotics and other medicines, and then they went out of date, billions of dollars worth. So then what do? Well, either you go spend another $1 billion, or what they really did was test them to see if they were still good. And most all of them were still good for a long time, years after the expiration date.
Or better than that, take all the boxes, just change the dates on them. We'll be right back on Earth's Good Overnight with Dr. Cynthia Kelker, Armageddon Medicine. Dr. Cynthia Kelker is a medical doctor, but she isn't so into her own medicine that she can't look at other things as some are. She isn't so adamantly pro nothing works unless it's a pill put out by a drug company. There are certain herbs which are extremely effective. She talks about it. One of them, cranberries. Cranberries, you kidding me? It's not even Thanksgiving. Yeah, well, cranberries. You've got bladder infections, urinary tract infections. A lot of doctors today are subscribing to it, prescribing cranberries. You go into your local grocer, here's my subscription, I want some ocean spray. Okay, you want the grape or apple. But the fact of the matter is, cranberries for bladder and urinary tract problems. Echinacea for colds. You're saying that's really good. And honey, there's another good one we've already talked about for not only burns, but also for coughs, and just flatly good to eat. You take a good biscuit, put some honey on it, there ain't nothing much better. Now, I don't care if it cures anything or not. I'm going to have it. You know, I want some honey around. Dr. Kelker, lots and lots of things that you put in your book that are things that you can get if there is a disaster when the pharmacies would be closed, right?
Yeah. You're not going to get anything from the pharmacies when they're closed. And even if they're open, they'll be out in the day.
No, it's kind of hard to get in that door. They close that thing and let you bust it down. So cranberries, echinacea are two that you would certainly put into your kit, wouldn't they be?
Right.
Another question for you. Living in Phoenix, we're not really an earthquake area. We haven't had a tsunami hit here for probably 50,000 years. Don't think one's really due. There are a lot of disasters we just don't have. Very few tornadoes. Hurricanes, they're pretty much non-existent here. but we do have, right just south of Phoenix, we do have a nuclear power plant. There are nuclear plants all over the United States. And the idea of having a meltdown is not impossible to consider. Potassium iodide, a good idea or one that maybe is overblown?
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea to get it now. You know, when the Fukushima hit over there in Japan, the potassium iodide sold out in the United States within days. So if you were thinking that, well, it's coming next week and you don't have it the first couple days, you just aren't getting it. So now is the time, and it would stay good for a decade, I'm sure. And if I live near a nuclear power plant, which I'd rather not do, but if I did, I would have some of that on hand for sure. And even then, you know, the winds can carry it hundreds and thousands of miles away from Japan. Some showed up in California. And a lot of the studies go back to Chernobyl, which seems so far away we don't really even think about it. But they did find effects of the radiation in children, and the children are prone to get thyroid cancer if they're exposed to radiation. And, of course, you don't want your own child to get thyroid cancer. So...
No, and that happened in Japan, that the results of that have hit the United States, even on the West Coast. So it's certainly something we're not hearing about in the mainstream news. if you live like 30 miles away from a plant like the largest in the U.S. is Palo Verde, then you definitely should have it. This, like so many other things, the time to act is now, not after it's happened. And that's why this book is so important to get, Armageddon Medicine, because when something happens, not a question of if, I think both of us believe that may the good Lord help and preserve us from this, but something's going to happen. It's just a feeling that a lot of us have that there's going to be some sort of a national emergency. And if this happens, you better be prepared now while you can. It isn't a rush to get you to buy a book or to stock up or this sort of thing, but the situation is for your own safety. It's the smart thing to do, isn't it?
Sure, and that's not just for sick people. You know, anybody who has, for example, diabetes or thyroid disease or chronic heart disease or arthritis or something bad like that, of course they want to prepare with what they, you know they're going to need. But on the other hand, somebody who's healthy, everybody I know sees a doctor now and then, like they sprain their ankle or they have some other sort of injury or they get an infection or strep throat or bronchitis. This year I saw a ton of bronchitis. And some other years we see the influenza. And then in the summer, people get allergic bee sting reactions, and if there is no electricity and we're all walking more, we're going to get a lot more injuries just from being on our feet so much. So the time to think about it is now and be prepared. You don't have to depend on your doctor for everything. You could be your own doctor in many, many situations.
What do we stock up for bronchitis, Dr. Kelker?
Well, the truth is, for a healthy person who gets bronchitis, that's a time not to use an antibiotic. If you had steroids on hand, which most people don't, but if you did for some reason, those clear up bronchitis quicker than an antibiotic does. Good cough medicine is one choice. And if you're wheezing, then we talked about the Primatene Mist that you can't get right today, but that's a good one. Caffeine actually helps. So one time when doctors say to drink caffeine, opens up your bronchial tubes. And the situation is also a little bit different if you're, say, a smoker, and then you get an attack of bronchitis. Then you probably need an antibiotic.
The other thing that probably help if you're coughing, like you say, honey.
Yeah,
again,
honey.
We're back to those little bees. Get yourself some honey. Stock up on it. Disaster doesn't happen. Eat that honey anyway. It's still good for you. More when we get back on Erskine Overnight. You've got your gold, you've got your guns, you've got your grub. You're going to come down with some illness, and that's it for you. So your gold, guns, and grubs aren't going to do you a bit of good. The fact of the matter is, this is a book that you need. Get your pencil and paper out. We're going to give you some very, very quickly go over some things that you need to know. First off, ArmageddonMedicine.net. A-R-M-A. Too fast for you? A-R-M-A-G-E. D-D-O-N, medicine, A-R-M-A-G-E-D-D-O-N, medicine.net, A-R-M-A-G-E-D-D-O-N, medicine.net. That is the website to go to. You've got a couple of websites for your blogs where you can get more information, and the book has a lot of information on websites to go to for everything from the potassium iodine right up and down the line. Now, Dr. Kelker, your other book is concerning. You've got concerning 101 Ways to Save Money on Health Care, and I thought that book was also one that you should have. But Armageddon Medicine, when problem strikes, it's going to be too late to get it. Now, what are your other blogs? Could you give out that information?
Well, the two main ones are ArmageddonMedicine.com or .net, and then 101 Ways to Save Money on Healthcare. And the one thing about that book is I didn't write it purposely to tell people how to prepare for the coming dangers inexpensively, but it would really help. You know, there's 600 pages of advice in the Armageddon book, but how are you going to do that? Well, it does cost some money, and the other book would tell you how to do it affordably.
Okay, and the thing about the Armageddon book, If you have somebody who, they break their arm, or they hurt their leg, or if they come down with this, that, or the other, you can look it up there and see exactly what to do. It's like a medical course all in one book. I mean, it is extraordinary. I cannot believe you've got that much packed into that book. It's like a whole 2 years of medical school packed into one book for John Q. Public. The number one thing you tell people to do, if you don't do anything else, if you don't even stockpile anything, learn CPR. That's one of the key things that you tell people, isn't it?
Yes, and that's for the big emergencies. But there's so many other emergencies that you need to think about that I hope you think beyond.
Absolutely. Water, CPR, the whole thing, it's all listed in the book. And it's called Armageddon Medicine. Dr. Kelker, I want to thank you for writing the book. It is one that I recommend and one that hopefully the entire listening audience, it doesn't matter if you're living and listening in New York City, if you're living in Lexington, if you're living in Phoenix, wherever you are across the country, disaster can occur for you and you should be prepared. You could be the go-to person. Medical people are going to take care of their own families. Dr. Kelker, thank you for being on Erskine Overnight.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Sweet dreams. Catch you next week on Erskine Overnight. And go to www.erskineonradio.com. Most of the programs are up there. If you missed anything, erskineonradio.com. It's up there. You can download them. Until next week, sweet dreams.